What's going on, y'all? Cuddy from Cuddy TV. This is 82 Seconds with Cuddy, the podcast, and I know you guys have been waiting. I appreciate everybody who's been patient. I've been getting a lot of DMs like, Cuddy, when are you going to start your podcast? And I always knew that 82 Seconds with Cuddy was going to turn into something bigger than me. And it's now a podcast for all of my fans and supporters and everybody else out there to listen to. So first off, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. If this is your first time, thank you. If you listen to the pilot episode, I want to thank you because that episode is going to be completely different from this one. That one, we were just getting started. You know what I'm saying? We just wanted to roll the idea out to you guys. And this is the first official pub. So thank you for being patient. I promised you guys an episode and it is here. And we are going to talk about a lot of things. So just to break down what you can expect to hear on 82 Seconds with Cuddy today, we're going to be talking about moves with Cuddy. I'm going to tell you guys about the Beanie Siegel event I went to this past weekend with my girlfriend. Then we're going to do an advice tip. I'm going to give artists some advice on the importance of owning your own beats and just the significant change that it makes for your music and also your career. And then I'm also going to be giving you guys the news, which you guys tune in to 82 Seconds with Cuddy 4. So I'm going to be giving you my extended opinion on Gayle King. I'm also going to be giving you an opinion on the updated social media. You know, Instagram's changing, so we definitely got to talk about that. And then All-Star Weekend. I mean, it feels like it's only right for the first episode to talk about All-Star Weekend. It's been an amazing weekend. I don't know if you've seen the dunk contest, but there's a lot to talk about. So this is official. It's the first episode, 82 Seconds with Cuddy Podcast. I hope you guys are ready. Again, any podcast service that you are listening to this on, I ask that you subscribe and comment and tell a friend and share this to your story. Share it with everybody that you know, because I plan on giving you guys a treat this episode for patiently waiting so long. So let's stop the talking. Let's stop the intro and let's get started with 82 Seconds with Cuddy Podcast. So we're just going to start with the moves first, because I feel like I want to give you guys my experience of the past weekend and what I was doing. You guys know I move around in the city a whole lot, connected in with a whole lot of different people. Shout out to Get Your Weight Up Twan. He invited me out as special guest for the Beanie Siegel event. I brought my girlfriend with me, her first time in Philadelphia, so that was dope. She got to see all of the Philly legends. You know, Killy the Kid was in the building, Dutch was in the building, Spade was in the building, Inez was in the building. Beanie Siegel, of course, he was performing. And there was just a lot more that I may have missed. And if I did, don't come at me. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to keep up with everybody. But it was just an unreal experience. I think one of the most iconic moments of the night was seeing Gilly and Beanie Siegel together on stage. You know what I'm saying? They brought out a lot of old hits. It was a lot of classics that was performed that probably your mom and dad know. Maybe we may not know, because I ain't going to lie. Even I was standing there like, when did this song come out? Is this song recent? Is this in the 2000s? But it was an amazing experience, man. I think that if you get a chance to go see a Philly legend before they're done, then definitely, you know what I'm saying, just take the time out to go see them. It was an amazing experience. My girlfriend got to see the pure core of Philadelphia, you know what I'm saying? And that was heavy for me, you know what I mean? I wanted her to get the best experience her first time being in Philadelphia. So what's a better experience than seeing Beanie Siegel live, one of the, you know, biggest Philly names to come out of Philadelphia ever? So besides Meek Mills and like P&B Rock and Lil Uzi, but just legend wise, you know what I'm saying, Beanie Siegel, this is definitely an amazing experience. I got to talk to Gilly, you know what I'm saying. I could tell y'all a funny story. So I've been to a couple of events with Wallo, you know what I'm saying? And me and Gilly have passed and, you know, passing, but we've never spoken. He's never spoken to me. I've never spoken to him. But of course, he's Gilly the Kid, so everybody knows who Gilly is. And I'm like a uprising celebrity, so it's like they look at me like, who the fuck is this little nigga and why the fuck is he around? So my brand, Iconic, the one that I'm a brand ambassador for, the CEO wanted me to give Gilly some clothing. So I walked him over. I was like, yeah, come on, I know Gilly. You know what I mean? Now, mind you, I never formally had a conversation with Gilly the Kid. But, you know what I'm saying, I felt comfortable enough because being who I am in the city, I feel like it was only amount of time before we crossed paths and did business together anyway. So I just walked over, you know, gave him some Iconic gear, and he walked out with it, you know what I'm saying? Real genuine, real solid dude. He was mad I kept tapping him on the shoulders, But I gotta make you remember me, Gilly. Like, you gotta think, you're a Philly legend. You know how many people talk to you a day? I gotta make sure I leave some type of impact. So, yeah, if y'all run into Gilly, you know, ask him about the nigga that tapped him too many times at the Beanie Sigel event. Maybe he'll be like, oh, yeah, the boy Cuddy, that's his name. Oh, yeah, I know that little nigga. Yeah, he kept fucking tapping me. But definitely salute to Gilly, solid-ass motherfucker. Yeah, I know Gilly's just being Gilly. I love it. Never change. Keep being who you are. That's for all of the Philly legends, man. You paved the way for all of us. And now we're, like, making a new age, new change. And I love it. Everything that we're learning from you guys, basically, in the Beanie Sigel event, you know, bringing them all together, it kind of motivates the ones that are coming up to be like, all right, I'm in the same room as them, so I got to be doing something good. So that experience in itself was definitely an eye-opener. I've been to the state property concert, so I kind of already had a relationship with Beanie Sigel. I kind of already knew him. But it was just so dope to see, you know, Philly came out. Everybody wanted to see Beans. Everybody wanted to hear their favorite song. And it was just an amazing experience. So his birthday bash is coming up. Make sure y'all get with him. It's going to be a good jaunt. So make sure y'all pull up. Beanie Sigel birthday bash. I believe it's like March 7th. Yeah, I want to say like March 7th. Cuddy might be there. You never know. I might get another special invitation. And if I don't, then at least I got to go to the first one. So that's Moves with Cuddy, man. The Beanie Sigel event, absolutely amazing. I hope anytime I have an event that I post it, you guys pull up, because I be doing some lit shit, and I need my supporters there to see that I don't be capping. I be telling the truth. So moving on to the advice tip, though. My main thing with artists is I want you guys to elevate to the maximum capacity that you can. You know what I'm saying? You should want to be around people that bring the best out of you. Like my guy, Digital Crates, he got me into doing a podcast. He was like, bro, you need to do a podcast. Like, people love your voice. People love hearing you. And I think just with that little push alone, it pushed me enough to be like, all right, I got the idea. I got the content clearly. Let's just put it together. Let's just do it. You know what I mean? The people might like it. The people might not like it. And I think that's major for artists, that just taking that step into the right direction is going to get you farther. So my advice tip today is that I want to talk about is beats. I want you guys to understand the importance of owning your own beats, using original beats. And let me just justify what I'm talking about, because I got into an argument on Facebook with people about this. Everybody's like, well, you can start off with Facebook beats. I meant YouTube beats. You can start off with YouTube beats. You know, people make it off of YouTube beats all the time. But if you go back in history and you just, you know what I mean, you just do your research and do your homework. All of the songs that blew up from a YouTube beat either got taken down, or the person had to end up buying the beat anyway, or big lawsuit came and their career went up and then it went down and then they never went back up again. So I just think it's best to do it right the first time. If you do it right the first time, you won't have to do it again. That's basically my advice. So just a little bit more. I think if you connect in with a local producer around your way, you know what I'm saying? He may not be as talented as some of the YouTube beats, but you can work with him. You got to think, you're not there yet either if you're an indie artist and you don't have a producer who makes their own beats. So you can't expect to be ahead of the pack if you're not even ahead of the pack either. So just be patient, you know what I'm saying? Find a local producer that's around the same talent level as you, and then just build with them, you know what I'm saying? Like Drake and 40 did it, Metro and Future did it, a lot of duos do it all of the time, like Ja Lil Beats and Meek Mills. It's real. There's 1,000 producers inside of the city, and all of them are looking for one artist that they can work with and completely build with and become mega stars with. Shit, look at Summer Walker. I mean, her boyfriend London on the track. Like, it's just possible. So I think the importance of it is one, you can sell your music. I know that's a big thing for artists. You guys want to sell your music and get it out there to the world. Owning your own beats makes that process a whole lot easier. And then just getting paid from your music, period. Like, if you use original beats, you can get paid from your music. You know what I'm saying? Because you know the producer, so you can put their credits down on the split sheet. And then you can start collecting in your royalties every 3 months. So just those two facts alone, one, that you can sell your music, and two, that you can get paid from your music, should be a good enough reason for you guys to want to go out and find a producer who can make beats that's around your style, or even network in with some of the producers that's around you that may be a little above your level. You know, they still might want to help you. So don't just think because you're not like, oh, I don't got a blue check on Instagram, or I don't got 10,000 followers, don't mean that people aren't grinding too. You know what I mean? You don't know people's stories. So definitely keep that in mind. Use YouTube beats for references, man. Like if you're freestyling in the car, cool. Or if you want to just send your producer a beat like, yo, can you make me something like this? Or even if you're like doing SoundCloud, you know what I'm saying? Like I know a lot of people do SoundCloud industry beats and they do remixes and it's all cool. But it's good for exposure. That's really it. That's honestly all your expectations should be out of that song. If you're using a YouTube beat or an industry beat, is that you're getting exposure. You can't really expect anything more out of it. You can't expect that to be like your hit single that you're going to make millions off of. Because once the person who made that original beat finds out that you're making millions off of that song, he's going to want a piece of it. So just the importance of, man, just linking in with your producers. Like, producers need artists and artists need producers. So just take the time out to find a producer around you that's willing to work with you. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? He might want to deal with a budget. He might not. He might just tell you, yo, if you can bring me clientele, then I'll give you free beats or I'll give you free studio session time. Like, you never know. You know what I'm saying? So advice, tip, reach out, network. Don't be afraid. You know what I'm saying? I know it can be real intimidating. You're reaching out for a motherfucker like, yo, do you make beats? Because I need beats, but I don't really know. Like, everybody's in the same boat. Unless you have PR, a publisher, a manager, and all that extra shit, we're all technically in the same boat. We're all trying to figure it out. So it's like, we all don't want to miss out on a good opportunity. So you never know. You could be the opportunity for a producer that they're waiting for. So I hope that hit your ears. I hope every artist that was listening to this, I hope it hit your ears. And I hope what you got out of it was go link up and go network with your local producers, because they probably have heat for you that you're not using because you want to go on YouTube. So my main just with that, that's my only argument with YouTube beats, is that there's a bunch of producers around that you can network with and get original beats and make money off of your music. And ultimately, that's what you're in the music business for, is to make money and to feed your family and to create a new way for them and financial freedom. So just do it the right way. And then maybe next episode, we'll talk about being registered, you know, BMI, ASCAP. Maybe if you made it this far, if you tell me what you want me to give you advice on next, I'll put it into my advice tip for next week. And then we could talk about it. You know what I'm saying? But that's in my main gist. I hope you guys were listening to that. I hope you guys took in every word that I said. And if you didn't, I'm going to say it again. Network in with your local producers. You know what I'm saying? You never know who's looking for a good opportunity. And you could be the good opportunity that they're looking for. So never stray away from networking with people around your area, for sure. But I know it's the number one thing that you guys love, and that is the news, and that's what we talk about, so that's what we about to get into. I thank all of you for being patient. I hope you guys loved my moves tip, and then moves with Cuddy, and then advice tip with Cuddy. I hope you guys like both of those. If you want me to keep those, I'll keep them. But I know what you're really here for. You're really here to hear my opinions on how I feel about the news. So I picked a couple of subjects that I feel like you guys would definitely want to hear. I have an update on Gayle King. If you don't know, you're about to know. You're about to find out. Snoop Dogg went at Gayle King for coming at Kobe Bryant during her interview. If you don't know, Gayle King was the one who was asking Kobe Bryant's best friend about the sexual allegations against him and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, Snoop Dogg has something to say. Snoop Dogg is a big cultivator of Los Angeles. So it's only right he has an opinion if somebody says anything about somebody from L.A. So fast forwarding, you know, the arguments happen, things happen. Snoop had to end up apologizing. So here's the update. Snoop apologized. But of course, now listen, I say Snoop's in the right. Of course, you're a big iconic person. You have this status on top of you. You can't just be out here coming at motherfuckers, even though you want to, and even though you're right. Only because you're a celebrity. That's all. That's the only difference. See, me, she don't give a fuck about me. I probably got, like, fucking 4 listeners on this shit, okay? But you, you got about 100,000 niggas who tune in every day. So, Snoop Dogg apologized, of course. Made it real sincere. And the reasoning for the apology is because of the girl, Susan Rice, former USA National Security Advisor. She said, and I quote, I actually wrote this down for y'all because I couldn't believe the shit that came out of her mouth. She gonna say, if you come for Gayle King, you come against an army. You will lose and it won't be pretty. So just to clear up any allegations, Snoop Dogg did not mean anything that he said in a harmful way. He was speaking for the people of Los Angeles and of the world. On I can pretty much say we all felt the same way that Snoop Dogg said. If you missed Snoop Dogg's comments, they're floating around Twitter and Instagram right now. You can probably find it. I don't have the direct comment, but you can probably find it on YouTube or something. And I think that he was right. Like, so for the former U.S. national, you know, it brought some eyebrows. So, of course, in my opinion, I think Snoop's publicist hit him up like, yo, now it's starting to get into politics. That ain't really your realm. I think you should just step out, back, and just apologize. You know what I mean? Just you said what you had to say. The people agree with you. We all know you're right. But at the end of the day, you know, politics is politics, and that can mess up a lot for you. So let's just tone it down a little bit and give him an apology. So Snoop Dogg apologized. Rightfully so, you know what I'm saying? Being a big celebrity figure, you don't want to put out to the world that it's right to go against people that are on TV, you know what I'm saying? So he literally went on Instagram to give an update to let it be known he didn't wish no harm against her and only let her know what everyone in the world was thinking, that you was out of pocket. And he basically just let it be known that he was just defending his friend that is not here no more, aka Kobe Bryant, and that, you know what I'm saying? You gotta chill, basically. You gotta chill. You're wildin'. So Gayle Kim accepts Snoop's apology and says she had no intention on adding any additional pain on Kobe Bryant's death. If you ask me, I think you should have never brought it up anyway. I think as a journalist, there's certain questions. Of course, you want answers, but I think you just should know, like, I don't want to step into that realm. Like, there were certain times where I've been in interviews where I'm like, I'm not going to ask this question because if somebody asked me this question, I would be fucking mad. So I think that's all it was. You know what I'm saying? Her trying to do her job, but she took it out of context and she may have dragged it a little bit. Like, she may have dragged the subject just a little bit too much. So, Snoop Dogg's apologized. Gayle King, you know, she's getting death threats and shit. So, she probably feels 100% safer now. Message to the world. We still hate you. So, don't think Snoop apologizing changed anything. We still don't like you. But, we will let you live because you have former U.S. National Security Advisor fucking left nut. On your side. So we're just going to let it be, and that's going to be it, and we're going to move on to the next subject because, you know, politics is politics. So that sucks and we have no say. But I don't know if y'all know, so social media has been changing a whole lot. I went on my Instagram the other day and I didn't have any views, and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't got no motherfucking views. So I went on my other page. I'm like, all right, maybe it's just this page. So I went on my other page, and I think Instagram is trying to like take away views so that it's all just content. I know they were talking about it, but I know now they're starting to dig deep and hit other accounts who may have been missed. So one, I want to know, does your Instagram account, can you still see views and likes? Because I know some people that can't see likes. And how do you feel about it? In the new age, I guess, since everything is based off of likes and views, it can be a disadvantage for people who run businesses on Instagram, i.e. Cardi TV. But it can also be an advantage because now it's solely based on content and not like views. You know what I'm saying? Because you can pay for views and you can pay for likes. So now it's like, I guess you'll know more on who's actually giving you great content and who's just bullshitting you and selling you a price, because it's like, well, if you give us $40, we'll get you 40,000 views. Well, that's cool, but 39,000 of those views are all bots, and you really get 1,000 views. So, I guess the whole view thing is kind of cool. It kind of hit me by surprise. I was looking at it. I really went on other people's pages, and I was like, I was imagining Instagram without views and likes. And if you ask me, nigga, give me my motherfucking views and likes back, bitch. I ain't asked for this shit. I don't give a fuck about them other niggas who be buying shit. I don't be buying shit. My shit is organic. My motherfuckers want to see what I got going on and what I'm doing. And I would like to see who is viewing and liking my shit. Because even the way y'all putting it, y'all like, and others. So I got to scroll through all of these fucking names and literally count them all up. Like, okay, I have this many fucking likes. Like, before, I just keep it plain and simple, G. Like, it's cool. If these niggas is buying likes and shit, then just deactivate their page or something. I don't know. Do better with finding bots and shit. But don't punish the organic niggas like me. Who, I don't really give a fuck if I got 5 views, 50 views. No, I give a fuck if I got 5 views. Fuck that. I can't handle 5 views. If y'all ain't viewing my shit, I'm done. It's over. So y'all better view this shit. You feel me? Because if y'all don't view this, it's over. I ain't doing another one. I might do another one. I like doing this. This is pretty cool. But yeah, basically, I'm going into what I'm saying is, like, Instagram is changing, y'all. So, are y'all ready for the 2020 change? Do you feel like it can be good? Do you feel like it can be bad? If you are a Instagram business, do you feel like it's going to affect your business at all? Or do you feel like you push out enough great content that people would still pay the price that they're paying you now? So those are some questions you can leave in the comment box, however you're listening to this. Whether it be on Spotify, hopefully you're listening to it on Spotify, or any other podcast service, you know what I'm saying? If they have a comment box, make sure you comment and let me know what you think. Because I thought it was pretty strange. I don't know what they get out of this. I feel like Instagram gets more money when people are paying for promotion because they want to see their views and their likes go up. So if you take it away, will people want to pay Instagram to promote their business anymore? I guess that's the real question. So we'll leave that there. Let me know what you think about the new Instagram change. It's starting to affect a lot more profiles than it once already was. So we know that's becoming real. So how do you feel about it? You know what I'm saying? I know some people's pages have already been affected and you're kind of already used to it. So you probably don't give a fuck because you're like, well, I can't see my views anyway. I'm not able to see who likes my shit anyway. But so just let me know. It's just a conversation piece. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk about the All-Star game now. We're moving towards the end. So again, if you made it this far, I appreciate you. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at the official Cutty, T-H-E official C-U-T-T-Y. 82 Seconds with Cutty, presented by Cutty TV. Make sure you follow Cutty TV. We now have a fucking episode lineup. Like, that's new for 2020. We now give you the episodes before they come out so you can be on task. So if any of you niggas are late, you now have no reason to be late. Because we tell you. All-Star Weekend was crazy. I don't know if y'all are in tune with All-Star Weekend, but I'm going to get you in tune right now with 82 Seconds with Cutty. I got you in 82 seconds. Rising Star Game, World versus U.S., U.S. won. I'll tell you the story on that. Dunk Contest. I don't even remember the nigga's name. D. Jones Jr. beat Aaron Gordon. We're going to talk about that. Buddy Hill beat Devin Booker in the three-point contest. That was deep. That was real deep. And then the Rising Stars, I believe the boy from the Indiana Pacers brought it home. I can't remember his name right now, but he brought it home. So let's start with the Rising Stars. So if you ask me, Jason Tatum should have won. I don't know what the fuck you were doing. You're a fucking defending champion. You get your ass in there and defend the Celtics title. Oh, yeah, i.e., if you don't know by now, I'm a Celtics fan, so there's that. So, Jason Tatum, need you to step it up, G. The Rising Stars Challenge was good. It was kind of like, it was kind of the same shit, you know what I'm saying? The boy from Indiana won. Savakage, I want to say that's his name. He's like number 11. So that was pretty dope. He beat the ball from the Miami Heat. So that was cool. I want to say Jones too, actually. I'm not 100% sure on that. Didn't watch the Rising Star game. But that was pretty cool. The celebrity game was dope. Let me give y'all a couple of notable names for the celebrity game that they had this year. First off, the captains alone were like crazy. They had Chance the Rapper, and then they had Common for like the captains. Like, who else but the two biggest Chicago stars right now to be captains of a celebrity basketball team? Teams were Team Wilbon and then Team Stephen A. Both were coaches. Just some notable names from Team Wilbon is Bad Bunny and Quentin Richardson. And then from Team Stephen A. Smith, of course, we got Quavo and Ronnie 2K, the nigga who be dishing out all of the 2K content, played in a celebrity basketball game this year. It was definitely a good game. And in the end, Team Wilbon took the victory on home. And Common was MVP. So, again, if you missed the celebrity basketball game, it was only like, I believe the final score was like 61-47. So, you ain't miss a lot. But make sure you go check that shit out. But which game I really took note to me of that night was the USA versus the world. I want to go back and touch back on that game because I missed the Rising Stars game. So, I can't really talk too much about that. But I did watch the USA and world game. That game was crazy. First half, the world, you would think that the world was just going to dominate the whole game. You know, defense was there. They had a lot of defensive players on their team. RJ Barrett is a good notable mention. He got a couple blocks. He got a couple steals in. He really set the tempo for the first half. And it was like a dog-eat-dog game, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't too far ahead, but the world just never let go of the lead. And then Luka Doncic hit a half-court shot for halftime. This was like, it's like 2 seconds left. They're literally calling this. They're saying he's going to walk up to the half-court and he's going to shoot it. Now, it's crazy how much the NBA has changed that's a regular shot. Half-court is a regular shot. So he takes the shot and he hits it. And I think that was about the last time that the world had the fucking lead. Another notable mention from the first half, we got two Zion dunks. You know, everybody's been waiting to see what Zion can do. So the first dunk was spectacular. The second one, I'm going to blame his assister who fucked up the assist and didn't let him get his right dunk in. But we got two dunks in from Zion Williams. You know, Ice Trey was out there. He banged a couple of threes. But just that second half, it seems like the momentum completely changed. Trey Young gave an assist to Zion Williams. Zion hits this big dunk, and then that completely changes the turnaround. Now we got Miles Bridges coming in. He's getting a steal. He's getting a dunk. Then he gets another steal. Then he gets another dunk. Then they go on a 25-5 run and a little missed of 5 minutes. And then it seems like the world just never came back. Like, it was like, it went from like, I believe like 68-70. Then it went to 72. Then it was like the USA never looked back. Like, as soon as they finally got the lead, because the USA didn't have the lead the whole first half, the world did. That's why everybody was so shocked, because it looked like the world had a strong hand on this game. It seems like the defense was too crazy. The U.S. just didn't have an answer for it. You know, Zion's out there doing everything that he can, but the USA can just not get a lead. But it seems like Miles Bridges was the complete turnaround in the third quarter that gave the USA the lead. And once they got the lead, it seems like they never turned back around. And then the game ended up being 100-51 to 131, USA winning by 20 points. Mind you, USA was down the whole first half. They were down the whole first half. So nobody completely thought that they was going to, you know what I'm saying, make it out. So shout out to Team USA for completely doing a momentum change and taking over the game in the third quarter. It seems like they got a little spark on it. And then again, if it wasn't for Miles Bridges, I don't really know how the game would have went, because he completely just took that thing over. Another notable thing I want to talk about with the celebrity game that I forgot to mention is actually before they started, the way they picked on who got the ball was who could take out the most tissues from a tissue box with one hand. So that was cool. I believe that Team Wilbon ended up winning that, obviously winning the whole fucking game, but that was just, I can see what All-Star Weekend are trying to make it more dope. They're trying to make the experiences more different. So that was cool as hell. Let's talk about the three-point contest. I don't know if you guys watched it, but everybody in the world thought Devin Booker was going to come in there and completely wipe the floor. I didn't see anybody on that team that could have matched up besides Trae Young. We all, when Trae Young came out and scored only 15, like, and then Devin Booker hit 27, we knew that it was Devin Booker's night. So, surprising, Buddy Hill came out. I believe Buddy Hill went after Devin Booker too and matched his score with 27 points. So they both had 27. So that was a big surprise. So if you were betting and you put money down on Buddy Hill, then you hit. Then look, you hit, because nobody was expecting Buddy Hill to come out first round and get 27 points. So it was basically a neck and neck battle between Devin Booker and Buddy Hill. Everybody else kind of honestly didn't really have a chance. I think the next one was like they had 24 points, but they ended up not even doing anything in the next round. So the real battle was between Buddy Hill and Trae Young. That last final round, you know, Trae Young is, Devin Booker and Buddy Hill. Devin Booker is just out there letting it fly. I think he gets his final round 26 points. You know, everybody's getting 20s and 19s, and everybody's like, oh, Devin Booker got this in the bag. And then Buddy Hill comes to the motherfucking three-point jump, knocks out his first rack, knocks out his second rack. He hits both zone shots. And people were like, okay, this could be a game. Like, they might tie it up. So he gets to 23, and he has, like, three balls left. And everybody's like, oh, they're going to tie it up. They're going to have to do another round. And Buddy Hill ends up getting 27 points, hitting all three of his shots, getting 27 points, taking home the three-point contest championship. It was crazy. It was one of the best three-point competitions I've seen in my life. And the fact that he beat him by 1 point, and of course, he had the 24 chain on. He was doing it for Kobe. It was just a great, iconic moment. Like, everything just worked out inside of Buddy Hill's favor. So, shout out to Buddy Hill, our three-point 2020 champion All-Star game. Let's get it. Damian Lillard may not have been in the All-Star game, but he definitely made his presence known. He got to perform before the slam dunk contest. He brought out Jeremiah and he brought out Lil Wayne. Was not expecting Lil Wayne to come out for his set, so he brought out Lil Wayne. He had the Mamba Forever jacket on. And for you to get that before the slam dunk contest, you know, everybody watches the slam dunk contest, so you can only imagine how many people seen his performance. Amazing performance. You know, Dame Dollar, that's what he calls his rap name. He's a very talented artist. So it's like, we didn't really expect a bad performance. We were really expecting who he was going to bring out. So when he brought out Jeremiah and Lil Wayne, everybody was like, whoa, like, that's iconic. And then he had the Mamba Forever jacket on, and you know, everybody did it for Kobe this weekend. So that was real dope. So the slam dunk contest, I know that's what we really want to talk about. It was Dwight Howard. It was the boy D. Jones Jr., Aaron Gordon, and then Pat Connaughton. You know, DJ Khaled fucked up his name. I'm allowed to fuck up his name, too. DJ Khaled was the host for the slam dunk contest. He brought out all of the contestants. That was dope. I hope you guys call me for the next one. I'm just as good as DJ Khaled. I just don't have as many hits under my belt yet, but I have hits. So, NBA, if you're listening, you can call me. I'll pick up. And we're going to kind of knock out, you know what I mean, Pat and Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard was just really in it, just to, you know what I mean, bring him back into it. Pat Connaughton, he was just, you know what I'm saying, he did a couple of good Jones. But the real battle was between D. Jones and Aaron Gordon. They both got 50s. Like, they were neck and neck. I think Aaron Gordon got robbed. He jumped over Taco, a 7'5" person. And oh, they didn't give it to him. He did the 360. So let me tell y'all something. He bounced the ball off the backboard, did a 360 dunk, and strong armed it one hand. If that's not good enough to win a dunk contest, I don't know what you got to do. Because I've never seen nothing like that in my life. But then again, the boy Jones, I'm not going to take it away from him. He did a couple of dunks. Like, he jumped over Chance the Rapper. He brought out Chance the Rapper for his set. That was dope. And he did a lot of other cool things that are like, all right, that's dope. But I definitely think it was neck and neck. I definitely think they both deserved all of the 50s. Like, they both got 50s, like, the whole game. Like, none of them got, like, 49. I believe the last one, D. Jones got 48 and Aaron Gordon got 47. And that's what made him lose by 1 point. So everybody was like, and this was when he jumped over Taco. If you don't know Taco, Taco is a 7'5" basketball player in the NBA, and Aaron Gordon jumped over him. So you can imagine that. If that's not good enough to win a dunk contest, NBA, I don't know what he has to do. So that's my conclusion to that. I think that Aaron Gordon should have won. Shout out to the boy, D. Jones, though. D. Jones Jr., he plays for the Miami Heat. He won. Good John. He definitely had amazing dunks. Like, they were both amazing. I just think Aaron Gordon, since he got robbed in 2016, he should have got in 2020. The dunks he did was just, like, unmatchable. I think it was just, even from the beginning, like, he came out with the energy that he was going to win this. So, Aaron Gordon got robbed. And that's that. Because it's just so sad. I hate talking about it. I hate even thinking about it. When I was watching it, I was like, what? If anything, give them another round. Like, that's what we all wanted, another round. So, we never got it, though. But it was definitely, we were here. So, if you missed the All-Star game, my predictions for today will be, because this is going to come out before the All-Star game comes out. Damn, because Jason Tatum plays for Giannis, and LeBron, he got Kemba Walker. So, I'm going to go Team LeBron. So, if you listen to this, you made it all the way to the end. Let me know if your picks. I got Team LeBron winning. You might have Team Giannis. You know what I'm saying? You could DM me, and we can go battle for battle. We can see who really wins this. I think that Kemba Walker is going to bring it home, I believe, in my point guard. But this has been 82 Seconds with Cuddy. Man, I appreciate y'all. Episode 1. Official episode. I told y'all that I got y'all, and it is here. If you like everything that you heard, make sure you DM me at the official Cuddy on Instagram, and follow Cuddy TV at We On Cuddy TV. And shout out to Boothwork Studios. That's where we at. Crate Space, you already know. And until next time, this has been 82 Seconds with Cuddy.